Stupid Mac. All right, now it. Now we're good. Now we're good.
Oh, shit! It is!
Yes!
Once again, once again.
I love it all. So, housekeeping out of the way first. Brandon Chalmers, we are now part of the Hard Knock Media Podcast Network. I did not fuck it up in front of the boss. I did not fuck it up right now.
By the way, can we just right out of the gate, can we not call it housekeeping? Because housekeeping feels like something that you regretfully have to take care of.
That's true. And that's true.
I really genuinely, especially after last week, really getting a chance to, like, I haven't had a whole lot of interactions with Keith the way you have, so I haven't got a chance to really get to know him. I really, really genuinely fucking, like, enjoy talking to that guy.
We should call it then the best part of the episode. Because because we get to acknowledge that we're part of this amazing group, and Keith was more than willing to give us a chance. We haven't been kicked off. We had a great time with the podcast last week. So it's I love being able to say that we're part of the Hard Knock Media Podcast Network. I keep forgetting to ask him to send us gear, but that will happen.
Is there gear?
There's gear. There's hats. Ooh. There's shirts.
Damn.
There's logos. Yeah. Like, and even if there aren't,
we can do that.
I can design stuff for it.
We have the technology. Speaking of that,
yeah. So I need to brand everything with Hard Knock Media. But yeah, we are doing.
We need backdrops.
Yeah, we need backdrops.
We need pop-up backdrops for the podcast.
We totally do. Oh my god.
We absolutely have to order those. Yes.
Yeah. I'm giddy with excitement. We are organizing an event for San Diego Comic-Con. There's going to be a tribute to Rose Tico because the new Star Wars movie is coming out. I have more information about that. I'll post that in the show notes and stuff like that. All the good stuff out of the way. Brandon, by God, Chalmers, what have you been geeking on?
Been geeking about that holiday, Jay Minoguchi, and finally, as nerdy as it sounds, I feel like I am, like, absolutely the whitest fucking guy you know, because I get excited about lawn work. Like, I got stoked. I am the fucking worst. Like, right now, outside my window, all hell is breaking loose.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh, no.
The sky's open. Helen Hunt's doing donuts in some sort of old Jeep in my lawn, shouting, I want to see it. I want to see it. Like, the ghost of one of the Bills who's actually dead is like, hanging on to her. There's little, like, Pepsi can twister shits going on. Yeah. It might actually be happening right now. It might just be an obsession with this song, with the Van Halen song "Humans Being." I'm not 100% sure what it is. A Twister soundtrack's a jam.
Yeah.
But got home, got out, went and did the thing, you know, and literally was like doing the front lawn, and then saw the fucking gray sky come over, and I heard that little like in my head, like, shit, it's gonna happen. And then the race was on to finish the rest of it, to then race inside. Except it's actually just me sprinting with that freaking mower, making noises like an idiot.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, no. What I'm geeking about is getting back in love with taking out some fucking house projects.
Nice.
I love getting shit done.
Nice.
Like,
nice.
Absolutely getting things done. There is something incredibly satisfying about starting a house project and then finishing it, because house projects can be one of those things that can spiral out of control.
Oh, for sure.
Like that. No warning whatsoever. Just something as simple as, like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to paint the living room. And next thing you know, you're like five trips into Depot. You've tipped over a can. You need to refinish your living room floors. You're like, what the fuck just happened? I am just like, literally, I'm at the point now where like the one thing that I'm looking to do is like, I need to make a punch list. And I think I am going to go so hard in the paint with this punch list. I'm going to take a Sharpie Magnum. Matter of fact, hang on. Where is one? Somewhere around here.
Taking it back old school. We haven't seen a Sharpie Magnum in these parts in a long time.
I'm take this marker and I am going to write a punch list of the things that I need to get accomplished on my goddamn bedroom wall.
Nice.
And this way, every morning before I leave for work, I'm going to see the list of shit that I haven't accomplished. And painting the bedroom is going to be the last fucking thing I do.
So you're not going to mess around and put like a piece of paper. You're just going to draw it on the bare fuck wall.
I'm going to actually write it right on the drywall with fucking Sharpie.
Love it. Love it.
I'm going hard, literally in the paint, and just making the decision that I am going to see this list and I'm going to get it done. Because I don't want to see these failures. So the idea is I'm going to just write it out.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to start crossing them off.
That's awesome.
And just getting one thing done after the other. Just fuck it.
That's a good.
I'm in full business mode.
That's a good feeling.
Man, yeah. Like, I got to get some of this stuff accomplished.
Time to do some literal house cleaning.
Yeah, literally doing some house cleaning. Just getting a lot of shit. Like, I had neglected the outside. And, like, for me, the weeds get really bad. And I've got this problem where the guy who I bought the house from laid down a bunch of stone, didn't lay down any sort of layer in between the stone and the rock or in the grass.
Oh, okay.
So I've got just stuff growing up through everything.
Yeah.
Right. And my only options are bend down and deal with it, which I had to do a bit of that for the larger stuff, or solve it with fire. Mm. So I also spent a good part. We're into day two of this like taming everything project. I basically walked around, like I cleared my patio of everything, drug everything out of the lawn, and then literally walked around with Bluetooth headphones on, just burning down to the goddamn stone of just everything. And the most satisfying hit of the leaf blower, when you're literally blowing the ashes of the remains of what you've killed off of the battlefield.
You did the Thanos snap to all of the
just absolutely right. Yeah, like I literally scorched the earth and then blew it away and wiped it clean and then drug my fucking patio furniture back onto the thing and went, yep, I'm gonna go make a sandwich. And just went inside and was like, yep, there's Monday. Done.
Oh man, that's great.
Yeah, I've also apparently decided to be incredibly poetic about my list, so I'm gonna have to start dictating a lot of these.
That's great. So do you get the fourth off?
I get the fourth off, and just found out today from work they were incredibly kind about that. They gave us the fifth off too.
No shit.
Yeah, they didn't tell us until today, but it was like, hey, did you already put in PTO? I was like, no, I didn't. But, like, you know, other people in my department did. And they're like, well, congratulations. Take it back if you already did, because everybody gets all. Woo! And, like, I guess, I don't know. It could be one of those things where it's just as cheap to just have everybody work, so you just raise morale because there's nothing actually happening. Yeah. And a bunch of people were taking PTO. And, you know, I get it. 4th of July is on a Thursday. A lot of people are going to party. A lot of people are going to call out or just not be there. And they were just probably like, you know what? Fuck it. Why deal with it? Everybody party. Have a great time. Have a 4-day weekend. And, you know, hit the reset button. We'll see you guys Monday.
That's,
but yeah, it was a super
awesome.
Good way to handle it. Yeah.
So
I was really pleased about that. So
should there be 4th of July meat eating?
I'm not 100% sure what the game plan is, because I feel like I was cleaning the backyard to gear up for something, but now I'm not 100% sure because I think it's supposed to rain.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure what I'm gearing up for. I might be gearing up to order pizza, which feels really anticlimactic, but it's fine because, like, I'll spike a sparkler in it or something like that.
That's true.
It's good. I think if I order shitty pizza like Domino's, it actually comes in a red, white, and blue box, which I feel like is at least halfway there.
Well, here is a firework hack from me to you. We have a number of parking garages that go pretty high in the area, and Rockville is in the middle, so we get to see everybody's fireworks. So last year, we on a whim, I was like, we should just try out this fucking parking lot. So we drove to the top of the parking lot. We saw everything. We saw like DC fireworks. We saw, you know, Rockville. We saw like Frederick and like random far out places and stuff.
That's so cool.
So if it's not raining and you aren't doing anything, you're welcome to join us on a rooftop And ooh, it's right next to a ramen place. So if it does get rained out, we can get food.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea. That, there might be an audible in my future. There's a steadfast thought process that I have, which is unless you have to drive on the 4th, don't.
That's true. That's true.
Because one, traffic's going to be a clusterfuck. Two, traffic's going to be a clusterfuck getting anywhere near D.C.
Right.
Three, just cops are going to be out in force trying to bust people.
But we do have a guest room with a big-ass bed.
There is that. I don't know. We'll figure out a game plan. But yeah, so
that's great that you get the 4 days. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was a genuinely nice surprise today. Like I was, you know, like I had some dental work that I needed to do today, so I was leaving early. Ah, it's all good. It's no big deal.
Oh, good.
But it was like I was leaving early, and as I was packing up, like my email popped up, and I was like, bling, "Hey there!" Right. It was like, cool, tomorrow button up everything and you know it's going to be a light day, and then go have a 4 day weekend. Like it almost feels Christmassy where it's like everybody's gearing up for a holiday and there's a couple days off that are happening and we're all just like, yeah, we're gonna go out and do a thing and then it's gonna be bad. Oh man, fuck, I should go get the propane tank and grill tomorrow at work.
Ooh,
fuck it.
That'd be fun as shit.
Yeah, we have a propane grill at work that hasn't been used since I used it the last time, maybe like 2 years ago. But I think there's still a tank hooked up somewhere.
Do you have an H Mart anywhere near you?
Yes.
Because there is a Korean barbecue section with all the cuts that we like. Ooh. and it's dirt cheap.
There is a I know Keith mentioned it when he was talking about the Korean buffets or the like the Chinese buffet. There is an actual Asian market, like a legit one, within like a stone's throw of my house.
I
bet they would have something. I don't think it's an H Mart, but I think it's like an off brand. Mm-hmm. But it always seems very crowded, so I'm assuming it would have some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, and they have them in big packs, so you could serve a lot of people for not a whole lot.
I was thinking either that or there is a genuine Latin style market that will actually do legit cuts of like marinated skirt steak.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was thinking just doing gigantic things of skirt steak and then cutting those up and just doing fajitas or something like that.
God damn. Might be time for a field trip for me.
Well, you know,
he's a little guy. He's here for the food.
there are many weekends ahead, so there's a whole summer to be had. So it doesn't necessarily have to be on like one of the busiest travel times of the year.
Yeah, shit. You should just come with us to San Diego, not do anything but like cook out in like on Emily's porch or some shit, and we'll come down and hang out. She's got a pool.
Yeah, I completely skip the con. All I do is just cook in somebody's place. Did Jamie and Keith bring their own personal chef? Dude seems a little intimidating at first, but he's cracking a lot of jokes. He's making some real good meat. Like,
yeah, we have to get you out there sometime. Probably not for the show itself, but like all the stuff around the show. I think you would have a really great time.
I think I would. I think I got to start planning it next year. Like, because I realize now, I was talking to somebody today about that. They were talking about MAGFest. And I realized I've never been to a convention for myself.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like even SPX, I felt like I was really working because it was like meeting up with somebody to go do something or whatever. Like, I've never actually gone and been like, yeah, I'm going to go hang out at a con.
Yeah.
I have no idea how I would even like it.
I
feel like MAGFest is a pretty good one.
MAGFest is a great one, especially the music aspect of it. I think you would enjoy some of that stuff.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, I don't know if I'm actually going to pull the trigger on it this year, but I'm very seriously debating it. Where it's just like, there's enough people that I know who go to this thing, where it's like, if I could actually find a crew to roll with.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Just going as a spectator.
Yeah. I of the shows that are local to us, I think MAGFest would be great because even though it's like a 24/7 show, it's still chill. Like if you want to hang out and play the pinballs, you can do that. If you want to check out the music rooms, you could do that. They have jam rooms set up where you can grab a guitar and make a noise and, you know, dick around with random strangers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's absolutely something I got to do. That reminds me also with Jam Session, we need to start playing music more. I know I'm completely separate tangent, but we got to start doing.
Hell yeah.
All right. Anyway, Jamie, what are you geeking about?
Oh, Brandon Chalmers.
Oh, shit, bitch.
Oh, Brandon Chalmers. Oh, Brandon Chalmers.
Oh, does it look good?
Brandon Chalmers. It feels good. Yours is waiting for you.
Oh.
The other thing is BAM.
God damn.
BAM. For those of you listening and not looking at the video, I just stood up with our exclusive Comic-Con t-shirt that's going to be on sale at Comic-Con, the Write Not Fight shirt with the ink pen and stuff. So the design is, the colorway is an exclusive, but if you're not able to make it out to Comic-Con, you're not able to get this colorway. We're still going to use this design for regular shirts and stuff throughout the year. So, but we're kicking off the whole Draw Right Now thing with an exclusive at Comic-Con because we have access to Comic-Con, and Phil is like, if we have access, we should abuse it. So through Phil Chan, we've got an exclusive Draw Right Now t-shirt up on the exclusives section at the San Diego Comic-Con website. And I'm fucking hyped. Like, I'm irrationally excited about this.
Well, yeah, because the thing that we've threatened to do, we're doing.
Yeah.
We're going to the thing and doing it.
Yeah.
Do you hear that, other people who've left Super Art Fight and haven't started their own side gig? I don't know who exactly we're talking about. Now that I think about it, everyone who's actually left and went to do a thing is like super fucking successful about it.
Yeah,
looking at you, Ghost Free Hood, and Monica.
Yeah. With like rare exceptions. But yeah, I don't know what.
Maybe that's the secret. Baron von Saxophone, I know you won't hear this, but damn.
Yeah, they don't listen to us.
Baron von Saxophone, do me a favor. Go buy a ketchup, then leave. Do it. Fly. Spread your wings. Become a majestic eagle and fly far, far away. Yeah.
So I'm excited. We're going to have exclusive stuff. We're going to be selling an exclusive 3-pack of our pocket notebooks. So this set is going to be exclusive. So you'll get the Draw Right Now wristband and three of our pocket notebooks. Normally we sell these separately. So normally we'll sell the band separately, but if you buy the set, you get the band for free. And that's a deal we're only doing at Comic-Con. During the year, you'll just get a regular rubber band and it'll be not as cool. So I'm excited. It's been a while since I've done a product launch that isn't directly related to art fight stuff or my comic stuff. This is sort of just like a motivational thing that we're trying and things like that. So I'm equal parts excited and fucking terrified.
Well, yeah, but that's the way all good projects should be. It should be equal parts excitement and fear.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you're proud of the thing, is you're afraid it's going to fail. So you're like, fly, baby bird, fly. I believe in you.
Yes,
God damn it, I believe in you.
Yeah. And hopefully between now and Comic-Con, you will be seeing more of these. Brandon, I have your shirt for you. So when I see you next, you'll get yours. Yep. And then we're just going to be spamming the shit out of all of our socials, hyping it up.
Yep.
This is going to get smelly. So I'm going to start wearing an undershirt under this so I can keep wearing
That's
this.
All right. And I do believe when I see you, Jamie, if I see you before you go away, we might have some other items that we can start giving away, like potentially some stickers. Because I don't know how Comic-Con is about that sort of thing, but I think if you make them part of a pack, maybe like free with any purchase or what have you, I think some people could have some stickers, and these are the good ones. They hold up really well. I've had them on my back of my car for about a year now. It's held up really well. So you guys should totally enjoy the hell out of these.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. I'm super excited for you guys. Like, I'm jealous as hell.
I know.
Because you're all like, forget San Diego. I'm like, I'm sad and poor.
Well,
like,
but we should plan for definitely C2E2 next year.
Ooh.
Because Phil,
Chicago.
Yeah, Phil always does that. So if you can't make it to San Diego next year, we should definitely plan for a Chicago thing. Because C2E2 is a good midway.
Yeah, I know. I think I'd really like to do San Diego, though, because like I've done C2E2, and I'd really like to go out to, no offense to Chicago, I do genuinely love it.
Sure.
I'd love to go out to the West Coast and see San Diego. I've never been to San Diego in general.
Oh, the weather is so good.
Oh, I bet.
You step out of the shower, Brandon, and your balls don't stick to anything. It just evaporates. And you're just like,
what?
Is this the real thing?
I know I'm getting up with the mic here, but did you just say you get out of the shower and your balls don't stick?
Yes.
And I don't understand this theory, Jamie. I grew up in America.
Yeah, no.
Everything sticks.
Yeah,
to everything.
And it's in the middle of goddamn summer. It's like 98 degrees outside. You step out of the shower and you don't feel like you're swimming anymore.
Really? It's like just no humidity?
There's no humidity.
Does it have anything to do with the Lachey brothers? Nothing?
I don't know.
You don't know who they are?
I don't know who they are.
98 degrees references.
Oh, okay.
I know what the kids are into, and it's early 2000s boy bands is really what they're into.
Yeah, yeah. We can figure out if you roll with us, like we'll figure out housing and all that kind of stuff. You won't have to worry about a badge because we have enough around in our circle of friends that can pick up extra badges and stuff.
Nice.
And since I'm a pro, I can get a number of extra badges with my registration and shit like that. So another pro tip for people, if you want to get into Comic-Con, make friends with a cartoonist who goes to Comic-Con because they can hook you up with badges and shit. It's a fun show to do. It's overwhelming. Like, think of the most extra con you've been to times a bajillion. But I feel like all the surrounding stuff is a lot of fun. So like, you know, you could drop your shit off at the table and then spend a day wandering around the gaslamp district. The gaslamp district is
what it is.
And just check out
gaslighting something very different.
That's what always confuses me about it. I always fuck it up when I'm there.
No, one of them's being an asshole, the other one's genuinely a gas lamp.
Yeah. like seeing all the different activations and stuff, I think it's a different experience. It's a con, but it's like,
that's cool.
And the masquerade is actually entertaining to go to, like the thing where the people do the skits and stuff, because many of them are professional. It elevates the format. So
that makes sense.
But yeah. All right. So yeah, you'll be hearing much more from us about Draw Right Now and shit like that. We're kind of trying to figure out what we want to do with it. So if you hop on now, you're in the early stages and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay. Yeah. I am a tentative yes at the moment. I really actually genuinely want to do it. I want to start saving up for it and actually enjoy the thing.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Nice.
All right, anyway, Jamie Noguchi, the fuck are we talking about today?
So, news came out, I think it was earlier this week or last week or something like that, but one local fan favorite, Dave Bautista, when asked if he would be willing to join the Fast and Furious franchise, indicated that no, he's only interested in doing good movies. And
God damn it.
And I have to dispute his notion of what constitutes a good movie. And I thought for today's episode that we would do a deep dive into Fast and Furious to give people a primer of why we like this franchise. And more importantly, which ones to avoid, because they're not all winners. Like there are like 15 movies. Not all of them are great, but some of them are better than others. And I figure like, we go movie by movie and talk a little bit about why we like it, why it hooked us, or why we think it's trash, and sort of give people a guidepost for it.
Okay, but can we real quick like cover something though?
Yes,
Batista's been on a lot of stuff.
Yes, he has,
and he is exceptional as Drax.
Yes.
Genuinely an exceptional performance by a man who I, up to that point, would have considered pretty furniture. Now, that being said, that dude's been in a lot of shit. Like, a whole lot of shit.
Not all of it's great.
No.
And his role hasn't always been great. Like, his role in Man with the Iron Fist, which I love, but I know a lot of people hate, he was basically wallpaper in that movie. Very pretty wallpaper, but he was wallpaper.
Yeah, let's talk about Enter the Warrior's Gate from 2016. I don't know what the fuck that is. It looks like he's wearing God of War face paint. Not really sure. By the way, for anyone following along, I searched the IMDb database for Dave Bautista's filmography as an actor. Let's talk about the tour de force that is the Kickboxer sequel, Kickboxer Vengeance, where this motherfucker has the nerve to take on the role of Tong Po.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jamie, you didn't see that?
Oh, no.
You didn't see that? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Where he gets his ass kicked as Tong Po? Yeah.
Oh, no. Dave.
Yeah.
Why, Dave? Yeah. Why, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that. How about the amazing performance where he was guy with fingernails in the Bond movie Spectre?
That was bullshit.
Did we forget that he was guy with fingernails?
He's pretty bad in that. He's
doesn't
pretty bad.
Have could you know what really is going on? He wanted to be Idris Elba in this movie and got fucking passed over. And he's butthurt about it because his fellow wrestler, Dwayne Johnson, didn't think he had the chops for it. And he got passed over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no.
Right. Because it's not a Vin Diesel problem. Also, who the fuck does he – like, that has to be a dig. He's literally playing in a movie alongside Vin Diesel in Avengers and then has the nerve to shit on the franchise that Vin's a fucking producer on.
That's true. There must be –
are you sure that quote isn't, like, tongue-in-cheek?
Yeah.
Like, not to completely undo all of the idea of this episode, but, like
– yeah. I
guess we can talk about his amazing performance in Riddick. Yeah. How about the what I believe to be the direct-to-video Billy Zane, Ron Perlman, Tour de Force, The Scorpion King 3, Battle for Redemption. Where he got to play not Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Right. Like this is what this is. Reality is that if this is genuinely not a tongue-in-cheek thing, he's pissed off because he's still in Dwayne's shadow. He literally took the role from Dwayne that Dwayne was like, yeah, I'm good. I did this. Then I did the rundown. And then I'm like, cool, let's do some actual fun movies along with that. And then his acting career shot off.
Oh, yeah.
This is the problem. Batista is just jealous and his years are getting on. And he's never going to be the actor that Dwayne is.
Yeah, he's even though he's got to be making shit tons of money as part of the Marvel Universe.
Absolutely.
Like,
but that's over.
Yeah. Why would you not want to do something fun? Like,
why? Right. Yeah. Like, what? Where are you at with that sort of? Why wouldn't you say yes?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Like, I wouldn't understand it. And fuck, just for the idea of him actually being able to do his WWE entrance, where he gets a Gatling gun and then literally, yeah, like he could have actually done the goddamn like back and forth shaky motion that he's always done with an actual Gatling gun and doesn't do it. Like it's the one time,
like,
but he's not wearing fingernails or he's not like he, right
the yes. scene writes itself it just writes itself
it writes itself like because he got close in Guardians 2 when he was like hanging out the back of the spaceship and he was doing the thing like
yeah but that's close. this way yeah
right it's not that right that's what I'm saying yeah like I don't need you at like 10 and 2 I need you at like fucking like 9-3, just two dicks, just shaking, just right in the hand, just two
shake weights, just
just forearms for days is what I'm talking about. Yeah, and this is right. So, okay. With that said,
yeah.
If you'd like to defend the honor of the Fast Universe, I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in. Okay. I'm here for it. Now, let me ask a question of you.
Yes.
What's the one Fast movie that you can do without?
The one See, there's some in the middle there that I don't remember, and I even have the Wikipedia up here in front of my face. But there's the one where they're racing in the desert and they're doing the like underground tunnels, and I don't remember.
That's four.
Four?
Four.
Four I could do without.
Four I can do without. I'm right along with you. Four I can do without. Now, here's where I am going to challenge some people.
Okay.
Other than four. Now, don't get me wrong. Four is also responsible for having one of my favorite cars in all of the Fast Universe, which is an actual legit like 1400 horsepower Camaro called the F-Bomb. I fucking love that car. It's rad.
Yeah.
With that said, I can do completely without that movie.
Yes.
Take it out of the universe. I'm good.
Yes.
Now, the first one's perfect, and I'll fight anybody who says otherwise. And I'm not talking about like the Buster fighting Vince. I'm talking like I'm going to make you disappear like the one dude, Lenny, who everyone fucking forgets about, who says I like his haircut. Like Jesse actually got shot. The other guy just got written out. That's where you'll be. You'll be sitting at the house still enjoying the barbecue while everybody else was like, well, I guess we'll go do adventure now, and just fucking leaves his ass. The first one is perfection, and I love it.
Yeah, the first one, I mean, it started this whole thing.
Right, but it has so much nostalgia. That first movie is a fucking timepiece, because it absolutely encapsulates everything that every tuner scene wishes it was.
Yeah.
Because that world is never real. Like, the lead up or whatever it is with all the cars and everything, that shit ain't real.
Yeah.
It got close-ish, I guess, and maybe this is a California thing. Maybe there were those like ridiculous level meetups in California.
Race sure, wars.
Okay. Right? Yeah, got the worst fucking. How with that diverse of a cast did Race Wars get past everyone?
Like, that's amazing. That's amazing.
What was that? Yeah, that was 2001.
Yeah.
The millennium had already been almost 2 years old. Like, we had already been getting jiggy with it. Like, I don't understand how 2 years into the millennium, we're still like, so what are we going to call it? Race Wars.
Race Wars.
Fuck yeah.
So do you?
Yeah.
So
Bedsheet Larry is 100% right. That's a fucking perfect name. Is what we're gonna name that.
Do you put in the cut scene where it's just the guys lying on their cars with their shirts off, all oiled up? Is that in your perfect cut of the film, or is the theater release the perfect cut for you?
The theater release is the perfect cut.
Okay.
Because I hold nostalgia for that, because I saw that movie midnight.
Oh yeah.
Opening night that Thursday, took off of work the next day, had a whole crew of people, and we literally showed up to the theater with two Honda Civics, a Dodge Neon, my 1989 Honda Prelude, and four Integras. Four of them.
Oh my god, dude. Oh my god.
Ja Rule rolled up in that fucking Integra and then lost Shouting Monica for Monica! Literally the years. Every single time anyone rode passenger seat in any one of those Integras and anybody blew past us, we always shouted Monica right at them as they were
retired. Like,
you could literally just
fucking
like
Ja Rule.
Fucking Ja Rule. And then anytime, so, and it was great because anytime they'd pass me, you'd hear them as they're riding by, Menage! And just. Because we were trash ass teenagers, but you know, like, The one thing I wish that movie would have covered was the dumb bullshit that I wish they were doing. Because, like, the thing they don't talk about is Vince, right? Total badass Vince.
Yeah.
He drives a car. Now, they're all, like, the rest of the crew are all Nissans, and this is going to be me getting deep into the shit, but whatever. He drives a 95 Nissan Maxima. Now, I know this because this was my first car.
Wow.
It was gifted from my dad. It was a nice car. Like, it's a super sporty, yada, yada. It's front-wheel drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesse's car, the Jetta, is front-wheel drive.
Yeah.
The way that they handled that was that he was basically riding around in a supercar. The guy next to him had a goddamn Skyline. Like, we're talking midsize, like, top-level sedan and the goddamn car they called Godzilla rolling in next to each other like they belong. Like, dude had an actual shark graphic as if he is a literal street shark on the side of that goddamn car. And the thing that they didn't cover was that the only proper way to have fun in a front-wheel drive car is to put the e-brake on, put literally, like, trays from a Burger King under those back tires and start doing donuts in a goddamn parking lot. Because that's what you did when you had a front-wheel drive car, high 1989 Honda Prelude. And
well, they saved that for Tokyo Drift.
Right, but they didn't even do it then because they could have done it then.
That's true.
Bow Wow could have literally had the Hulkmobile and could have had it on fucking, like, Mickey D's train, fucking sliding around, showing the other dude how to slide and watching the two drift, like, the old school drift heroes.
Yeah, that were, like, the actual drift king. Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah, the actual DK literally just laughing at like, Bow Wow as he'd be skating his fucking Scion done up like Hulk all around the thing. Yeah, and could have actually done it. They missed that opportunity
because
they had literally up their asses instead of inside the actual tuner culture. Because tuner culture at the time, at least from my experience, was one part Fast and the Furious, but no budget. So you're just buying a lot of underglow lighting and, like, cone air filters and just, like, taping them to things. And then one part, like, Jackass, because all you're trying to do are pranks on each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the series definitely takes itself a little too serious in the beginning. Like,
I don't think so. I think it absolutely does what it needed to do, because every single person who was part of that scene, when they got behind the wheel of their car and they had the big fucking trash can mufflers and everything else like that, there was a moment where they took it very seriously. And you needed that sort of, like, real time. The interesting part about that is that movie actually sets the tone, now that I think about it, more than any of the others. That's a heist movie.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
Right, but, like, they, you forget that. Like, you think of it like being dumb race car movie. It's actually it's a heist.
Yeah. I mean, that's how they and, get
right.
You know, that's how they jump what's his face in. God, I don't even remember the character names.
Brian.
Yeah, that's how they jump Brian into the gang.
Right.
They take him on a heist.
Right. But, like, that's the whole thing is, I realize now that the first one and the fifth one are way more perfect movies back to back. God damn it. Jamie Noguchi, I have a plan. We're watching it this way. We're skipping all of the middle ones. We're going from one to five.
To five. Wow.
To okay. five. Right. Because if you think about it, Vince gets done, right? Vince gets hurt, and then Vince disappears. If we pick up where we left off, and we literally smash cut and we treat Brian like Jesus, where he just goes from, like, 13 to 33, where it's just like, right, where he just shows up with Mia and a kid and whatever the fuck else. Cool. Yeah. Like, we're good. Like, where we left less, you know, on the last time we saw Jesus, he's running from the cops. We don't know why. And Vince is there. Right. Like,
yeah, and Vince comes back. Okay, so where do we put two? Because two introduces Roman. And when it first came out, I was not a fan of two because I felt like they were following the wrong guy. Because Brian was the least interesting one of the bunch. But it introduces Roman, who is amazing.
I'm not even worried about Roman. It introduces Tej. because here's where the heart and soul of Fast comes from. The ones that are way later have a mix of heist and have a mix of humor. And you needed to have two to work that out. That was them working out the kinks where it was like, we can do a fun heist movie or a cop movie or whatever it is and kind of deal with some of this drama. But let's not pretend that there's a lot of people who think this is real tongue in cheek. So let's have a bit of fun with it. You need those foils to kind of work in there. Also, it's one of the first times that they've, I feel like, at least naturally in like white boy culture, that a genuinely multicultural movie didn't even bother to pay attention to the fact that it was multicultural and just integrated.
That's why I love this series, because it's one of the most diverse casts, and they never pay lip service to it. There's no justification for the black guy. There's no justification for the Asian guy. It's just...
Right. You didn't need it because it was tuner culture. But the idea of just like, oh, yeah, no, Brian and Rome go way back. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no like they grew up in the projects of this. Like,
yeah.
We didn't need to add to Brian's credentials. We didn't give a shit. Whatever. They knew each other from way back. They've got history. They're friends. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Brian's friends
with Tej because of the race series. Yeah. Living on the boat right near Tej. Cool. All right. Suki is definitely rolling around with Tej because Tej is the top, yada, yada. Cool. All right. So now we've got white guy, Ludacris, and the Asian model. Immediately, boom, diverse cast. And now all of a sudden, Brian is like the only regular white dude because the rest of that cast are essentially either black, Asian, or Latino. Like, reasonably, I'm trying to think. The real kind of douchey white dude who played Dexter's dad in the Dexter series was like the straight-laced cop.
Yeah.
Right, but like he plays Miami cop in another – like he plays Miami cop literally – you know what? I just realized Dexter is actually Fast Canon. Because he's a Miami cop, and then he plays a Miami cop who also is Dexter's dad.
Yes.
Who tries to keep him on the straight and narrow. So congratulations. Dexter is actually Fast Canon is really what's going on.
That's awesome.
While the rest of them – yeah. When we go to Tokyo, Dex is literally being raised at the moment.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And I forgot that Tej was in it. But yeah, I mean his addition to – like Ludacris's addition to the series – fucking perfect. Perfection.
Right.
Like perfection. Right. Like I feel like they cast him and like, we'll see what it can do. And then from then on they were like, Luda has to be in these goddamn movies.
Right, because you needed to have that comedic foil to kind of introduce everything out. Like it made actually fuck. You know what Four does? It introduces the twins.
Oh shit. Yeah. It's their own version of like the Ocean's 11 series, but
yeah,
they're
a
great.
Little bit, but it's just not, it was well done. Anyway, all right, let's go back. So two is corny, absolutely,
sure,
but it is probably the most fun, intentionally fun ones of the series.
Yes, and it has Eva Mendez.
Yes, yeah, who is
That one did not introduce Giselle. That was like
no, that was
four or five.
No, it wasn't four. It was definitely post heist. It may even have been six.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
All right. So next in the timeline of being released is Tokyo Drift.
Yes,
I love Tokyo Drift. I know people don't necessarily love Tokyo Drift, but how can you hate the scene where Bow Wow is super excited to see his Hulk car come out of the garage? Like the look of pure joy on Bow Wow's face, that speaks volumes. That's like
you know what the real problem with three is? The bland ass white dude.
Oh, he's terrible.
Who we follow. Yeah. He's terrible and he's forgettable.
Yeah.
And that's really the, like, he is literally, I don't know if he's actually, like, I don't think he's Scott Eastwood, but he feels like Scott Eastwood.
He does. But the movie has
they literally had in the series, and then I completely forgot was in the series, because I just made the reference, and then forgot, like, he's in six or seven.
Yeah.
Can't remember, it's seven. But yeah, like.
Tokyo Drift is Han's movie.
It's Han's movie,
it's
right.
Han and Bow Wow.
Right, and Han is perfect in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Han story.
Yeah.
I get, like, that's the thing I think that they fucked up on. If they'd have filmed it from Han's perspective.
Yeah.
Like, if they'd have followed the kid and then had him get to Tokyo and then had literally, like, Bow Wow introduce him to Han, and then immediately, like, all you see is the camera go from behind him staring at Han to behind Han staring at him, and then you think that we're going to follow him when he leaves, and then Han turns back at his crew and goes, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I'd have been fucking in.
Yes.
So in.
Yes. 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 And that's why I love that film, because we get Han, we get great character moments from Bow Wow. I mean, it's a dumb Yakuza film, but like Han steals every scene that he's in. Like, and it makes me so sad when he blows up.
Now I'm curious about, when was this Ocean's 11 released? 2001. Okay, so they were definitely aping it. So
sure.
Han is definitely a knockoff version of Brad Pitt from Ocean's 11.
Oh, of course, yeah. Because he's like, always in the corner eating something and like... Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's always like eating chips or something like that. He's always way too fucking smooth for his own good. Like,
so good! Just,
right, but he's perfect. Han is the one loophole in that entire series that just I wish they would have fucking doubled down on. Mm-hmm. Like, you would have had him come back. When you find out that, like, when you get into whatever it is, 8 or whatever, where, like, Vin has a kid and this is why he turned on everybody, it should have been Han.
Should have been Han.
Cryogenically frozen Han that Statham thinks, like, you think that Statham killed him or whatever it is. No, he actually, like, the scene's even longer. He has his crew drag him out and save him for later because he's playing a long game.
Yeah,
he's a sunk. He plays a long game.
Yes,
like,
yes,
hands
yes,
him off to yes. Helen Mirren and is like, hey, man, mom, go ahead and open for him. Uh-huh. And then, like, just.
Forgot that.
Yeah. And, like,
I know, mom. And, oh, man. Yeah. So I
just walks in and just looks at Vin, him see Han. And, like, literally, you could have Han set up almost like Luke in, like, in, like, Empire. Just, like, he's in the tank and everything else like that. Just and just leans up behind Vin and just goes, yeah, did I have a mind? And just had to look at him like, the fuck?
Whoa, what's wrong with you? Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so when people say they don't like Tokyo Drift, I give them the patent side eye. I'm like, you're wrong, but you're wrong.
I think the problem is that they don't like the main guy in Tokyo Drift, and they're not wrong about that.
They're not wrong about that, because he's like 54 and he's playing a teenager.
Right, but he looks somehow worse now. Like,
yes, yeah.
Yeah, he did not age well, and he only aged in the face somehow. Like, I don't know what happened to him. Like, did someone put his head in a dehydrator? Like he took his Fast and Furious money and then bought a tobacco farm. And it was just like, I'll just dry this and myself, apparently.
What has he done since?
I have no idea. Hang on.
I don't even
out.
Know what the fuck his name is. Let's see. Fast and Furious plot.
There's no plot. Let's
Lucas Black. Lucas Black.
Yeah.
He,
looking like the biggest pedophile.
Ooh. He was in Get Low.
Thing.
Legion. 7 days until Utopia. It doesn't seem like he's done a whole lot.
Yeah, like, what a forgettable. Well, shit, he's on NCIS New Orleans, all so right, he's hanging out with that back.
All right, well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else he's really done, and that's really the problem.
Poor dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see. So, Tokyo Drift is in there. You got to watch that. Fast and Furious is the fourth one.
By the way, could we instead of also gotten a bit of, like, fallback where we smash cut back to his hometown where we follow Zachary Ty Bryan and see what he was doing after he crashed his Viper? Is that a thing we can do?
That would be really good.
Because he kicked the shit out of the Home Improvement kid. Like, just a reminder to everybody. Somebody went, we need a douchey white guy. The fuck's that thick one from Home Improvement doing? And you know, like, Zachary Ty Bryan's agent was like, calls him up And you know he's got some decent cash. He's got that home improvement money. He's like, T-Bry. Yeah, no, it's Glenn. So the Fast Crew, they want you. And he's like, fuck yeah, finally. It's about time. T-Bry's coming out as a leading man. And then shows up to the reading. And they're like, cool, so you're going to go up and be kind of a douchebag. Here's a letter jacket. And he's like, wait, hang on a second. Am I playing the same character? Here's a Viper, you spoiled fuck. Now go wreck this thing in a parking lot. God damn it. Just flips open his Razor phone, is like, hey, Glenn, you're fired.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 100% rocking a Samsung Razor.
Hell yeah.
100%.
Hell yeah. So Fast and Furious was the fourth one, so we're ignoring that one. Fast Five, we already talked a little bit about.
Jesus Christ, Zachary Ty Bryan got fat. Anyway, keep going.
Fast and Furious 6, known as Furious 6 or Fast 6.
I like the – wait, do we completely skip over 5 because it's perfection in every way?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, like one in,
okay, no,
one
that's
in five.
Fine. No,
yeah,
we're good.
One in five, one in five are on your must-watch list.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Fast 6 or Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
I might need a refresher.
Okay. What's the refresher question that's going on here?
What happened? Is this is this when Letty comes back?
Yeah, this is the one where Letty comes back, where Luke Evans shows up as younger Shaw.
Oh, right. Okay.
So this is the, like, Dwayne is, like, running the facility and gets blown. No, I'm sorry. This is where – fuck, what is the goddamn thing of this?
See?
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. So this is where Gal Gadot shows up. This is where fucking Gina Carano shows up.
Yes. Good Lord. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ah, damn.
Yeah.
Like, we get actually Wonder Woman and maybe could have been Wonder Woman, though I really got no heat on Gal Gadot at this point.
Well, like, Gina Carano, she's going to be in a Star Wars thing where she's holding a goddamn giant fuck Gatling gun. So
you had at Gina Carano holding and then Gatling gun? Jesus Christ, I need a minute.
A space Gatling gun, and it's going to be a series, The Mandalorian. So she's going to be a regular on this show.
Oh, my God.
Yes. She's going to do Batista better than Batista.
Oh, man. Good Lordy. Gina Carano. Anyway, yeah, I think this is – oh, you know what this is? This is the one that we had to put up with fucking Jordana Brewster.
Oh.
Because Mia's a fucking pain in the ass in this one.
Oh, right.
She gets, like, super involved in things. And clingy, God damn it. Like,
But Han and Giselle, OTP.
Han and Giselle.
OTP, yes. The best. If he somehow shows up in a Wonder Woman movie, that would make me so happy. Like,
yeah,
if the one after the 80s, they do the 90s one and then Han shows up and then he makes out with Gal Gadot, I'm there. That's what I want.
I am in for all of that. Like, if we find out that she knew all along she's not actually dead and it's actually fastest in the DC universe. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm there. Well, yeah. What if Giselle
this is
was
where
Wonder
we find
Woman?
Out if Han's alive because Superman saves Han. Superman saves Han. That's how this works.
Cars don't fly, but Superman do.
Wait, actually, better. A lantern ring screaming across the cosmos. Han, in his moment before he ends up getting taken out. In brightest day, in darkest night. Fucking ring just hits him. He goes shooting out from the side. If you slow down the frames in Tokyo Drift, you can see a green blur. You think it's the nitrous flames. No. It's Han making his way out into the cosmos. He returns back in Fast 10 to goddamn grab Brian's brother and turn him into the next Green Lantern. Actually, no, fuck it. If we actually want to find out that Idris Elba is actually just Jon Stewart and we just, like, if he does a hard turn at this thing and he calls himself, because he calls himself Black Superman.
I'm the Black
and
Superman.
Nobody gets a copyright, right, but nobody gets a copyright infringement.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh my god. Copyright. Oh my god. Oh my god.
When it gets copyright infringement.
Yes.
Someone please staple Zack Snyder to a fucking chair so he doesn't ruin his Fast movie.
God, I need this to happen. I need this to be.
Someone needs to nail his feet to the fucking floor.
Oh. I fucking love that. I fucking love that.
Yes. Yeah. I've decided. That's what we did. Look, okay. Honestly, the rest of this thing, Big Dave's wrong. I'm sorry, he just is. The rest of these movies are fucking fun. Yeah. They're ridiculous. Yada yada yada. Double back that Han is now new Green Lantern.
Yes. Right? Han is Green Lantern.
Right. It wasn't Hal Jordan, it's Han, and that's how this works. So Han is now
Han is now Green Lantern living on Oa.
Han's now Green Lantern. Right, yeah. And then he's going to come back to save Idris Elba at the end of this movie with a lantern ring. And next thing you know, they're going to start the Lantern Corps. Right. And right. So how he gets around the cosmos is in a Veilside RX-7. Literally screaming through the cosmos. Right. Right.
Because he can make any construct he wants. And that's what he would ride.
And then this is where we find out, we tie it in. The last scene of the next Fast movie is Han showing up in his goddamn green car, sliding up next to Gal Gadot, and then giving her the side eye and her going, Han? Credits. And then we just, we're off to the fucking race. And I've single-handedly fixed the DC universe.
You're welcome, America. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You're welcome, America, because Matthews knew Batman. He won millions of dollars. He managed to beat the cartel. He's rich as hell. He knows how to run. He's got a thick-ass neck, and he's grumbly as fuck. Vin Diesel is the new Batman.
It's canon. The Fast series is part of the DC universe.
That's it.
That's the way it fixes itself.
He's already been cast as Black Adam anyway, right?
Yes.
So he's already DC universe.
That's true. It's perfect. I mean, we'll have to get Universal and Warner to play nice with each other.
Well, I don't see that being much of an issue. They love money.
Yeah, that's true. And this would print dollars. This would print so many dollars. This is how you defeat Endgame, by making something stupid fun.
Right. Something that is so fun and so over the top.
Yeah. This is how you revive DC movies as a franchise. The Fast series is fine. They're doing well.
You make them super fucking fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
I fucking love all of this. Yeah, I think you're right. I think the rest of them are fine. The rest of them are great. But
the rest of them are fucking great. Yeah, like when they go to Saudi Arabia, it's a bit much, and I don't really care for Ronda Rousey grumpy acting through everything and what have you.
Yeah.
But that's just me not really liking the idea of turning Saudi Arabia into like a, you should totally come see this thing because it's fucking great. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
no.
Right. But other than that, let's double back to the fact that Han is now the Green Lantern.
And he starts the Green Lantern Corps.
It's not that he starts it; it's that he gets recruited by it.
He starts the Earth segment of the core.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we want to turn Vin into another voice actor, we could actually just make him Kilowog. But that seems like
that would be really good too.
Yeah, I know. Like honestly, I would actually want to hear another grumbly actor as Kilowog show up and see Vin, and Vin squaring off as like almost Batman, like looking up, Kilowog looking down and realizing they're basically the same person, and then both of them looking at Han and going, why do you like this guy? And then it's fucking easy. Like
that's great.
It's easy, right?
There's so Zera is a voice actor in the new Justice League Unlimited, are Outsiders, and there have been a couple of scenes where she's talking to herself because she's playing both characters on the screen, and it's hysterical.
That's awesome.
I'm all for this, and the only thing that makes me sad is it's possibly not going to happen, but I love it. I love it.
Like, yeah.
Seeing those two together, seeing Han reunite with Giselle as as Diana.
Now that we've harnessed the power of the Hard Knock media empire, I think it's about time we use that power for good. So I'd like to propose a letter writing campaign, because ooh, I know what people understand. People ignore Twitter. I'm talking about pen to paper.
Okay.
Genuinely, dozens, because nobody actually deals with paper mail anymore, and dozens are going to seem weird. Be like, what is this, like the 13th letter that we're getting about this? Does this seem weird to anybody else?
Oh, so exciting.
Yeah, so like, good. I would love to see at least a baker's dozen of letters.
Yeah, I'm sure we know. I don't think 24 people listen to us, but I think we know 24 people who would write letters.
Right, yeah, I think that's the idea. Like, you need a friend who just likes a dumb internet joke.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then we can turn it into a thing, because I feel like this needs to be a thing.
I feel like this needs to be a thing. Yeah, we can fix this. We can absolutely fix. Like, DC has the potential to be fun. The Fast movies are already fun. I want to see Han come back. I want to see Gal Gadot come back. Let's tie these things together and let's make them work. Because imagine if you find out that everything kind of worked out for them in these last couple, or Gal is like really upset because she couldn't save Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, she was off world doing something,
whatever it is, or she was fighting with somebody or whatever it is, but like she couldn't save Brian, or she did, and that's why Brian's not there, because he's completely out, because he realized that they're playing with forces beyond his control, and he didn't want to get Mia hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
We figure all that out, but like we start playing with a very different set of rules.
Oh, I like it. It's
because honestly, making Rome booster gold is just a thing that needs to happen.
Oh my god!
Because I can't think of a better booster gold.
He would be fucking perfect as booster gold.
Wouldn't he though? Oh my god! Wouldn't he though? Like if he and Tej are trying to one up each other with the money, and then him literally come back in the outfit and go, your boy got a time machine. Where you at now? And just like you watch Tej be like, son of a bitch. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. And Tej becomes Brainiac.
Oh, no. It's got to be somebody funner than that. There's got to be somebody fun.
Yeah. But I like this idea. It's a movie series that knows where it is. And that's the problem with all these DC movies is they don't – the Wonder Woman – I feel like Wonder Woman is close. I haven't seen Shazam, so maybe that's there too. But like,
I think it is. Yeah,
they like, need to know what kind of movie they are.
Relatively close.
Yeah,
because I love that Momoa, but goddamn, you know.
Oh.
The next one's got a lot of Samoans, like a lot. And they're near the water.
They are near the water.
Dwayne literally played Maui. So I wonder if a certain aqua related man could possibly show up as part of the battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, honestly, even if he's just like, you see, like, there's a director's cut where, like, he's on the back of, like, a whale just, like, laying sideways, watching Dwayne hang onto the back of a truck and then a helicopter and go, that's badass. I don't care who you are. Yeah. And just, like, not even getting involved, just watching the shit happen.
Or just, like, my man.
Yeah, right, yeah. Hell yeah.
With his Leica.
Right, yeah. Hell yeah.
Click.
Yeah, I love the idea of just Momoa hanging back and watching.
I think this needs to happen. If DC wants to compete at Marvel's level, they need to do something fun. This is fun. This is, and it's unexpected, and it would put a smile on everybody's face. Like, you would not see a frown in it. Yeah.
Let's start having fun with these fucking DC movies. Yeah. We can solve the problem with Han, with Wonder Woman and with Aquaman. And let's just move on from the rest of everything, and let's move into the lesser known heroes. Let's move into the Booster Golds and a bunch of the other things. And then we find out that, like, they're using all of their skills of being able to do heists to then defeat guys like, I don't know, Darkseid or something, like, you know, you get your top level DC villains and you get them to defeat them for whatever it is. Fuck, you turn Tej into Mr. Miracle.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he's been doing. Now that he has that much money and he has that sort of time to kill, he's figured out how to do everything. We need to bring back someone. Can we bring back Gina Carano as Big Barda?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm about that life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why is she here? Because she is.
Because she is.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, all of this is build up to we are going to have an event.
Is this officially happening?
Whether or not we can make it official, like whether or not we're going to actually work with a place, but I'm going to pretend from now on that this is an official thing. We just we'll work out all the details.
But we're talking.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
August 2nd, Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw premieres. We are going to do an event at a theater. Brandon will be there. I will be there. We'll see if we can get some other friends to come out and be there. I'm going to draw a poster for it. I'm going to draw a poster of, it'll be 11 by 17. It'll be Idris Elba just saying, "I am Black Superman." And in his whatever costume that they have for this. So I'll do it. And we'll hand out limited edition posters at the event.
Hell yeah.
We'll maybe, like, if we actually are able to organize with a theater, we'll do maybe trivia and we'll have dumb prizes. Like, I don't know. We'll go to like a toy store and pick up like, you know, aftermarket terrible cars or something like that.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. You know what? I'm down for picking up a bunch of Fast and Furious merch, and then we'll just Sharpie it all to look like DC Universe characters, and we're just going to keep this thing canon.
Yeah.
We're just going to find a bunch of Han figures, and I'm just going to Sharpie the shit out of them green.
Yeah. So I'm going to put it out there. I'm talking with Keith. Even if we're not able to actually work with a proper company or proper theater, we will pick a theater in the weeks coming up to the event. We'll put it out there. We'll say, like, we are showing up here. Even if we're doing a drawing in the parking lot or whatever and handing out posters in the parking lot, we're gonna be there. We're gonna do a thing. We're gonna make this an event. It'll be the fucking Dude Cast presents Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw, a fucking Do It Cast experience or something like that. So
yeah, I like the idea of the presents.
Yeah. Draw Right Now presents the fucking Do It Cast. Presents Hard Knocking.
Jamie, if we could just literally have it, like, the font just get larger and larger, so this way it's just starts to crowd everything out, and then it's just everyone else like, the fuck, man, Jesus Christ, just the lettering all. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna do a thing. Even if it's not an official thing, we're gonna show up at a place. We'll have a limited number of posters available. I've got a place that does prints and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun. We'll make it a thing. And hopefully we can do more of things like that when fun things come out that we definitely feel need some love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I got for now. Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at ThatGuyChalmers, and the hiatus will soon be over. My break is going to be done in a little bit. My batteries are recharging. It's time to get back into it. I don't know if I'll ever – I don't know if I'll ever start getting down with everything as far as, like, Twitter goes. But
Twitter is a cesspool.
Yeah, it really is. But Instagram's a lot of fun because I really like posting the photo thing. Also, if you are trying to, and I'm saying this just as a throwaway thing because I know a lot of people who listen go through the same struggles that I do with this sort of thing. If you are trying to make yourself physically better, if you're trying to go see a doctor, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to just do more things, hit me up. the mutual side of this, of like the mutual support of just post every day. I'm going to try and start posting a photo from just all of my adventures every day.
Yeah.
And just get in the habit of sharing what I am really enjoying and try and get better every day. And I'm going to try and post more fitness related stuff. I'm going to start posting my workouts. Nice. And I want to start supporting everyone else around you. So if you're looking for some moral support with this sort of thing of just like, I need to get in the gym, I need to go do the thing, hit me up. I will absolutely message you every day. Are you going to the thing? What are you doing? Cool. I'll do it with you. We'll do the thing. Like, even if I physically can't be there, if you're like, I'm going to go walk a mile, fuck it. I'm walking a mile with you.
Yeah. FaceTime workout.
Yeah. We'll FaceTime with each other, or we'll text back and forth or something like that. But
yeah, hell yeah.
We can all start getting a little better, because one part of Draw right now is the support. And I think as part of the support of creating something, it's also creating a better you. One day at a time. And the only way we're going to get through all this crap is together. There's enough fucking bipartisan blah blah blahs, yeah, and all the bullshit in the world. Like, we got to start being kinder to each other. And if it starts with a small group and a friend of a friend, let's start doing that shit and start being real supportive of each other.
I think
it's good for everybody.
I wonder if we should set up a Discord server where people could just hop on and say like, I need motivation to do this thing, and we're like, we'll do it with you.
I want to see more of that, and I want to see more friends start doing that sort of thing. So please don't be shy about hitting me up if you're like, you know, if you don't know me, friend me on Facebook, tell me what's going on. We'll start BSing over Messenger. Like, it doesn't ever have to be an in-person thing. You don't ever have to sit in a room with me if you don't feel comfortable with it. But if you're looking for somebody to be like, you can do the thing and I fucking believe in you, I'm your guy.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Yep.
Where can they find?
We should set up a Discord server. We will have a Discord server by next episode.
Shit. All right, cool. I don't know how any of this stuff works, but I'm down with
it. Well, we move fast. But yeah, you're here on the YouTube, Jamie Noguchi, in your Google machine. You'll find my Twitter, which is Angry Zen Master. You'll find my Instagram, which is Jamie Noguchi. I'm going to be at Comic-Con. I'll have more details wherever we post this and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's going to be.
Where's the network?
Oh, Hard Knock Life. Jesus Christ, I did it. I did it. Hard Knock Media, hardknockmedia.com. That's knock as in Nerds of Color, NOC. So you can find all the other podcasts on the network. And yeah, hell yeah, man. Let's get out there, support each other. Because, you know, we're all we got. So.
Yeah. Yeah, genuinely, going back to it, that's the idea of these things. That's the idea of Draw Right Now. That's the idea of Fucking Do It. Like, I want to see a little positivity. There's enough bad shit going out there. Let's start supporting each other for a little bit. Maybe just make, even if it's just one small corner of the internet where it's just a lot of support of each other.
Yeah.
Let's carve out that little corner.
Yeah.
Just one nice, comfortable place for everybody to just be supportive of each other in their creations of things. You know, positive and constructive criticism is absolutely welcome. It's how we learn. It's how we all get better. But the idea is encouragement over all else.
Yeah, man.
Do the thing.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Kids, have yourself a fucking rad week. You got this.
Have a good vacation if you have one.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Now click the goddamn button.